All right, I got good news for you. I have a short message tonight. I just have 3 points, and one word text. It's down in verse 18, the last verse that we read. But what I'd like to do to get there is work my way down through the chapter, all of chapter 13, and just to share with you some truth. And so the good news is a short sermon. The bad news is it's a rather lengthy introduction. So buckle your seatbelt. Here we go. Keep your Bibles open if you would. Genesis chapter 13 in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him, into the south." You know, up is a good way to go when you've been down. Because Abram in Egypt, and if I call him Abraham, please forgive me. I know his name at this point was still Abram. God hadn't changed it yet. But when he went down to Egypt, he backslid. God had called him from Ur of the Chaldees, told him, "Hey, go to this place I want you to go. Not going to tell you until you get there, but you just get started. I'll tell you when you get there." And in faith, Abram packed up his family, packed up everything that he had, and started toward this place that God was directing him to go, a place that God had prepared for him. And he got there. And God said, "This is where I want you to be. This is the exact spot I want you to be. I'll take care of you in this place." And then a famine came. And instead of trusting God, I mean, if you would think if a man trusted God to pack up everything he had and start on a journey, not knowing where he was going, and God saying, "Hey, I'll tell you when you get there," you would think that a man like that would have enough faith that when a little famine came and God said, "Just stay here and I'll take care of you," he'd stay exactly where God put him. But something happened. This man of faith, the father of the faithful, as we know him, said, "No, I'm not going to trust you, God. I'm going to go to a place where I can feed my family." And you don't need to look at it, but in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there." Those of you that have studied the Bible know that Egypt in the Bible represents the world. So here's a picture of a child of God going back into the world. And I want to tell you tonight, this is not my message, this is just my introduction, but I want to tell you tonight, it always costs when a Christian backslides. It always costs when a child of God goes back into the world. You know the story. While Abram and Sarah were in Egypt, they picked up a little slave girl named Hagar. That little slave girl was later given to Abraham, and Ishmael was born, the father of the Arab race. How different the world would be if Abram would have just stayed put and stayed in the place where God put him and trusted God to feed him in a time of famine. By the way, I want to tell you something. Abram did not enjoy Egypt. Just like a Christian that backslides and goes back into the world, you won't enjoy going back to the world. The things that you used to enjoy in the world won't be enjoyable to you anymore. The things that you like to do in the world, you won't like doing anymore. Because if a Christian backslides and goes back to the world, you don't go alone. Because the Holy Spirit of God goes with you, and all the time you are out of the will of God, there's a still small voice whispering in your mind and in your soul, "You don't belong here. Turn around and get back where you belong. You won't enjoy going back to the world." And by the way, the world won't like you either. Egypt didn't like Abram. In fact, it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 20, "And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away." You go back to the old group of friends. You go back to the old haunts, the places that you looked like to hang out with before you got saved. You're different. I mean, you may say, "No, I'm no different." You're different. When you got saved, all things became new. And you won't like the world, and the world won't like you. So just stay put where God put you. Amen? Just stay where God put you. The only good thing about Abram going down to Egypt is found in chapter 13, verse 1, when he finally got right and went up out of Egypt. Verse 2. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Don't you find it strange that that verse only talks about material things? Don't you find it strange that it doesn't say, here was a man close to God? Here was a man of God? All it says, here was a man that was rich in cattle and silver and gold. Nothing spiritual said about this man as he went up out of Egypt. Verse 3, and he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel until the place where his tent had been at the beginning, but between Bethel and Ai, until the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I'll remind you tonight that Abram was a pilgrim. He was heaven-minded. All he had was a tent and an altar. And by the way, that's all he needed. He didn't need anything else. Just a place to sleep and a place to worship God. And listen, we need to remind ourselves tonight that we too are pilgrims in this world. This world is not our home. The time we spend in this world is like a second compared to 100 trillion years. It's like a droplet of water compared to all the waters in the ocean. The time that we spend on this earth compared to eternity is just a small fraction of time. And isn't it funny and isn't it sad that so many people spend their lives collecting things for the small amount of time that they're going to spend here and don't spend their time gathering their treasures and sending them on to heaven? The things of this world one day are going to pass away. The things of this world that people think are so important one day aren't going to amount to a hill of beans. That's a hillbilly expression in case you didn't know. Not going to amount to anything. It's not going to mean anything. And we need to quit worrying about laying up treasures down here like God tells us to and make sure we're laying up treasures in heaven where we're going to spend forever and ever and ever for all eternity. Abram was the opposite of most people. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, the Bible says, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord. He's different than most people because most people would build their tent and pitch their altar. Abram said, oh no, the most important thing in my life is not my tent. The most important thing in my life is where I meet God. So I'm going to build my altar. I'll pitch my tent. I'm not staying here long anyway. This world is not my home. Look at verse 5. And the land, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. So this uncle and his nephew, these two children of God, their herdmen started fussing with one another. They started fighting over who was going to get the best pasture. They started fighting over who was going to get to the water hole first. A terrible testimony. It says that the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt there in the land. And they saw these two men, both who belonged to God, their servants fussing with one another. And what a terrible testimony it was to those heathen people that lived in the land. And again, not part of my message. I'm still in my introduction. I'll tell you when I get to my message, you'll know. We'll get down to verse 18 to that one word. But it's still a terrible testimony for Christians to fuss and fight with one another. It's still a terrible testimony when we can't get along. In verse 8, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Abram was a peacemaker. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What this old world needs today is more Christians that are peacemakers. More Christians that know how to get along with one another. More Christians that protect their testimony to this old world. Verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Listen, Abram was the older of the two. He had seniority of the two. He had every right to say, hey, Lot, you go over there and I'll go over here. He had every right to choose which part of the land he was going to dwell in. But he said, no, I'm not going to choose. Lot, you go ahead and choose. I'll take what you don't take. Listen, when we defend ourselves, God can't. But when we say, I'm not going to defend myself, then God moves in and defends us. We're going to see in a minute, and you know the story. Abram's going to be blessed. God's going to bless him in a mighty, mighty way. If he would have said to Lot, hey, I'll choose, you go over here and you go over there, he would have missed some of the blessings of God. But he said, I'm not going to choose. I'm not going to defend myself. Lot, you go and choose. I'm going to let God take care of me. And we'd be a whole lot better off trying to stand up for our rights and what we think we deserve and let God take care of us. And Lot lifted up his eyes, verse 10, and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Lot chose something that looked like Egypt. A lot of Christians get out of the world, but they never get the world out of them. What a terrible price Lot had to pay because he wanted a place that looked like Egypt. What a terrible price Lot had to pay for trying to straddle the fence and serve God and man. We need to understand, even today, in 2015, that God wants Christians that are sold out to Him. That God wants Christians that get all the way on His side of the fence. That God wants Christians to get out of the world as much as they can and to get as much of the world out of themselves as they can. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Our lukewarmness makes God sick. Our trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in God makes God sick. Listen, get all the way in. Get out of the world. Get the world out of you. Serve God 110%. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. Here's what God told Abraham to do. He said, hey, look north, look south. Look east. Yeah, look east. That's east, right? Look east. Look west. He said, Abram, everything you see, I'm going to give you. Verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. God said, Abram, you've done right. Lift up your eyes. Look around. I'm going to give you all of it. I'm going to give you all of it. And I'm going to take care of you. Now we come to verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. My text word tonight is that one word, Hebron. Hebron. You know what that word means? It means fellowship. Fellowship. That's what the name Hebron means. The best place in all the universe to live is in Hebron. The best place in all the universe to live is in fellowship with God. I don't care where you live geographically. I don't care the condition of your living. I don't care what you have and what you don't have. I don't care how you're getting along with people around you. The best place to live is in fellowship with your God. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You want to know how to fill your tank up with joy? You want to know how to fill your tank up with the joy, joy, joy that we sing about this morning? Then you move to Hebron and you stay there. You move into fellowship with God and you stay there. And by the way, we can. We can. Now look, I know as Christians, when we get saved, we're not made perfect. I mean, we're made perfect in Christ, but we still sin. We still fall short of the glory of God. But thank God, God put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no reason why any Christian can't live in Hebron, can't live in fellowship with God. So I'm to my sermon now. My introduction's over. I have 3 minutes left in order to get done by 7 o'clock. I took my concordance. I looked up in the Bible every verse that mentioned the word Hebron. I studied it. I point out to you tonight 3 quick things. And again, when I say Hebron, what I'm talking about is staying in fellowship with God. Number one, Hebron is a fruitful place. In Numbers 13, we read about the Israelites. They had not gone into the promised land yet. Moses, at God's instruction, picked out 12 men, said, "I want you to go into the promised land, and I want you to scout it out. I want you to see what it's all about. I want you to see if the cities are walled or if the people live in tents. I want you to see if the land's good or bad. I want you to see if it's fat or lean. I want you to see if there are just a few people live there or many people. I want you to just go and look at the land and come back and report to us." And in that chapter 13 of Numbers, verses 22 and 23, here's what the Bible says. "And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs." Hebron is a fruitful place. That's where the Israelites went. That's where the brook of Eshcol was. That's where they cut down the grapes of Eshcol. That one clump of grapes that it took 2 men to carry. The pomegranates and the figs. They went back and they told the Moses and the Israelites, "This is a fruitful land." And Hebron, in fellowship with God, is a fruitful place. You see, God wants us to be fruitful. He said in John 15, 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." And if we stay in Hebron, that fruitful place, we can bring forth fruit. But if we get out of Hebron, if we get out of fellowship with God, it's awful hard to bear fruit. It's awful hard to do what God wants us to do. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Nothing. We need to be fruitful. We need to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them how to get saved. Get them out of hell. Get them into heaven. Tell them about Jesus. And the only way that we can do that is live in Hebron. Live in fellowship with God. Abide in Him and let Him abide in us. It's important. Listen, it's important to the cause of Christ that we stay in Hebron, that we stay in fellowship with God. It's important to His cause. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. Brother Dan mentioned it in his testimony. We've not been given a great suggestion. We've not been given a great, well, if you can get to it, do it. We've been given a great commission. We've been given a great command. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We can only bear fruit if we live in Hebron. We can only bear fruit if we stay in fellowship with God. Second thing I'll tell you about Hebron, it was a place that had to be fought for. In Joshua chapter 14, an 85-year-old man comes to Joshua, and he says to Joshua, hey, you remember what Moses told us 40 years ago? He told us that surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That 85-year-old man told Joshua that God has kept me alive, that God has preserved my strength. I'm just as strong today at 85 as I was 40 years ago when I was 45. And I went with you and the other 10 men and we were spies in the land of Canaan. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron for an inheritance. You see, there were giants living there. Caleb had to go in and whoop. That's another hillbilly turn. Whoop. I'm hanging around too many of you hillbillies. I'm turning into a hillbilly. Caleb had to go into Hebron and whoop those giants. And he did. And he did. Look, when you move into Hebron, you're going to have to fight. The devil don't want you to stay there. The devil don't want you to stay in fellowship with God. He'll do everything he can to get you to move out. He'll send discouragement. He'll send trials. He'll send people across your path that tell you you're foolish trying to live for God. You're going to have to fight. But I want to tell you something. It'll be well worth the fight. It'll be well worth the battle. Fight for it. Fight for it. There's no better place to live in all the universe than in fellowship with God in Hebron. And then number three, Sarah died there. In Genesis chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old, and Sarah died in Hebron. I've said twice already tonight, Hebron's the best place to live in all the universe. Hebron is also the best place to die. It's the best place to die. We come to the end of our life. We get ready to leave this world. The only place that we as Christians should want to be is Hebron, in fellowship with God. I sure wouldn't want to be any place else when I come to die. I mean, when the day that God's appointed me to leave this earth, I want to be exactly where God put me. I want to be in the center of His will. I want to be in fellowship with Him. I want to be in Hebron. That's where I want to die. Right in fellowship with Him. Hebron. Fellowship. The best place in all the world to live. The best place in all the world to die. So let me ask you tonight, are you there? Are you living in that place called Hebron? Are you living in fellowship with God? You can't live there, first of all, without getting saved. You can't have fellowship with God without knowing Jesus as your Savior. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way you have fellowship with God is to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. You can't have fellowship with somebody you're separated from. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price for our sin. He offers the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of heaven, the gift of life to every person. And just like Uncle Bob shares with the boys and girls, you got to take it just like any other gift. You got to take it. If you're here tonight and you've never taken the gift of salvation, why not? What's holding you back? It's not a better place to live than Hebron. Try it. Not a better place to live than Hebron. And we as Christians, take some work to stay there. Because again, Satan do all he can to push us out. He'll tempt us and try us and try to get us to leave that place where God wants us to be. Stay there. Stay there. Because that's where you want to die. That's where you want to die. In fellowship with God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the message of the gospel. For the simplicity of the gospel. For the goodness of the gospel. And I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they could see their sin, they could see the penalty for that sin, and they would come to the only one that could help them. They would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here tonight. Help us to examine our priorities, where we're living, where we're dwelling tonight. And if we're not in Hebron, if we're not in fellowship with you, help us to pack up and get back there. Help us to pack up and move back to Hebron. Just bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.